Y'all forgive me for taking my mask off, but I can't preach with that thing on. Steam comes up, my glasses get all foggy, and it's better that I do it without. But thank you again for being here this morning. If you will take your Bibles and turn to John 2 after we open up with prayer, then we'll get started. Father, thank you for this chance now to come and see what you did, Lord Jesus, on that first miracle that you performed. And Father, we understand that there were reasons that you did these things to show us the truth, to show us the good way that you have given us, Father. Lord, I just pray that you will remove me from this, Lord, and let your word through your Holy Spirit speak for itself. So, Father, we thank you and we turn it all over to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have a favorite YouTube channel that I'll watch, and it's called Two Brits Try. And it's these two young British men, and they're named Josh and Jake. You're shaking your head, Jeff, that you've seen this. And they go around America trying different foods, drinks, things. I think the last one they had, they were in West Virginia trying barbecued sandwiches or something, and they were just bragging. But one of my favorite episodes is they decided they were going to try moonshine. They were in eastern Tennessee in the mountains of Appalachia, where, of course, if anybody knows, the best moonshine comes from. Not that I would know anything about that. But anyway, so the guy who owned the restaurant, it was a little hole-in-the-wall type place where you can always get some of the best food and drink. There he is. And he said, we want to try moonshine. He said, okay, I'm going to start you out with the kiddie stuff. And he said, what's kiddie stuff moonshine? And it was this stuff you can buy at Walmart, you know, in the mason jar, and it's got different flavors. And it's about 100 proof. So they tried that. Now, well, this is like Scotch whiskey, or, you know, it just wasn't that good. So he said, okay, I want you to try this. This is stuff you can buy down the road here. And it was 140 proof. And they drink it, and they like, woo! And he said, now, I'm going to give you the good stuff. 180 proof. This comes from out back somewhere, which I'm not going to tell you about because you're on camera. That kind of moonshine. So they took it, and he said, now I want you to sip it. The guy, unfortunately, took the whole shot glass at once, and he wound up shaking on the floor. You know, it looked like he had a Pentecostal moment. He was foaming at the mouth, and he was speaking unintelligible words, and the other guy looked at him. He's like, this really was the good stuff, wasn't it? And he said, absolutely. I warned him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Jesus always gives us the good stuff. Not something fake, not something watered down, not something weak, not something tempered to fit modern sensibilities. No, he gives us the good stuff from moment one. And how do I know this? Because he proved it. Let's turn to John chapter 2, a story we've heard quite often. Y'all can tell I've been sick because you see I couldn't go to my computer and type off everything. I had to handwrite it in a notebook the old-fashioned way, which is good sometimes because it makes you think. John chapter 2, starting at verse 1, going through verse 11, and it says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Of course, that would be Mary. And both Jesus were called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Verse 5, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, you do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Now that's old English for saying a few gallons, okay? Jesus said unto them, fill each water pot with water. And they did fill them up to the brim. And he said unto them, I have not, it's hard to see. Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast has tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, but when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Now keep that in your background, okay? This was the first miracle that Jesus is recorded doing. Now, brothers and sisters, you're going to have a lot of people say, well, when he was a baby, he made birds out of clay and gave them life. No. All that's a bunch of hokum. It's mythology. The Bible's clear. This is the first miracle that Jesus did. So all those other miracles before that, they're not real. This is what the Bible says. Now, the things that Jesus gives us, I called it the good stuff. But it's not only the good stuff, it's the real stuff. It's the true stuff. And everything else that people try to pass off as good for you is much like that governor of the feast, the master of ceremonies. He said, you know, most men bring out the good wine first, and then after people get a little toasty, then you bring out the other stuff. It's like when you go and you have a party, at least this is what they tell me, and you start out with a nice beer or a nice wine, and you end up with malt liquor. Some of y'all are smiling. Folks, I'm not going to call out any names, so y'all quit smiling at me. I'm telling you, the world always tries to give you what you think is good stuff. They try to tell you what they're doing is what's true, what's right, what's good for society. I mean, you've had people, and some of y'all have seen this last week on TV, they get up and they get up in nice fancy robes and they have big long staffs and they try to pontificate about how we should treat everybody. Folks, the way you should treat everybody is with kindness, respect, and love and truth. There is sin in this world. And the good stuff, the true stuff, the real stuff says we have to deal with it. We have to make ourselves in line with the will of God the Father as presented through the Son, Jesus Christ. He tells us the truth. He gives us the good stuff, and He doesn't wait to the end. He gives it when we go to Him. He gives it when we're in desperation. He gives it when we don't know where else to turn to. And He tells us when He hands us the cup, this is the New Testament in my blood. Drink it. Know me. Love me because I loved you first. All these things Jesus tells us. Now last week we talked about Jesus being the true light. We talked about reflecting the true light in the world and all that stuff. We see, what you are reflecting is not only light, it's the good stuff. It's the real stuff. It's the truth. We need truth in this world. You have so many people that want to sell you a lie. Everything from politics to social issues to timeshares. It's all a lie, folks. It's designed to suck you in and trap you. But we don't need to do that. Why don't we need to do that? Because we have the truth, the good stuff, right in front of us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to see that this good stuff means that there is no other way unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. And it is because Jesus Christ gives us the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to salvation. You try to save yourself, you're not drinking the good stuff, you're drinking arsenic. You're drinking wood alcohol. You're drinking stuff that will drop you on the floor and kill you eternally. And that's what we don't understand. You know, I'm couching a lot of stuff today in secular, worldly terminology because that's what they understand. You cannot understand what God has for you truly unless you have the Holy Spirit, which you have through faith in Jesus Christ. Unless you have faith in Christ, you are blinded by the God of this age. So you will understand the stuff this age talks about more easily until you are brightened and enlightened in the true light that God gives us. I want us to understand. Turn to John 10. I'm going to reemphasize what I just said, but in Jesus' words. John 10, verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Jesus clearly indicates that all others before him, and when I say that, I'm referring to verse 8, because it says in verse 8, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." He's talking about at that time, historically, there were people who had claimed to be the Messiah many, many times. In fact, we read over, I believe it's in the book of Acts, where the chief teacher, Gamaliel, the guy that taught Paul, he talked about these several different types of Messiahs that came, and people that followed him would understand historically what he meant, because he said all these people came to naught. They were thieves and robbers. And that's why he said, "You leave these people who follow this Jesus. If it's of God, we don't want to be found to be against God. And if it's not, it will go away." Has it gone away? No. It's been strengthened over and over, not only by the apostles that followed him directly, but all those he taught right down to us here today that proclaim the truth, the life, the way, all these things that Jesus are. But John 10:8 clearly indicates that all others before and those after, from John 10:1, anybody else that tries to come into the sheepfold, the family of God, the children of God, except through the door, and Jesus says, "I am the door to the sheepfold." You have got to go through Him. And folks, there's a lot of people that claim many different ways to God. Remember last week when I talked about all these different Jesuses they have out there? Well, brothers and sisters, they not only have these Jesuses, they have all other kind of false ways to get to God or get to the next level or be reincarnated. I mean, there's all kind of stuff out there. And the world would rather believe that because they cannot face the fact that they're sinners. Glory be to God that we understand that there's no way we on our own can be right with God. It is only through Jesus Christ, the good stuff that we have. Any other attempt at salvation, any other attempt to be made right with God is drinking poison. It's not drinking the good stuff. It's not enjoying the fellowship. Let's take a few of these. Well, we already talked about false religions. I mean, you got all kinds of false religions. I was joking the other day. Somebody was talking about Elvis Presley. And I said, "You know that in Tupelo, Mississippi, there's a guy that has the Church of Elvis." I'm not joking. They have a house set up. Now, it's a tax dodge. Okay? He's got it registered as a church for tax purposes. Okay, but I mean, they got the whole thing. They got the altar. They've got the candles. They've got the giant black velvet painting of Elvis, you know, with the Mardi Gras beads stringing all around it. That's silly to us. But folks, they also have something called the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. These guys have pictures of their government IDs. They're wearing colanders on their head. Now, they do it in mockery of people of faith. Now that's way off on one side, but then you have people who claim, "Oh, we love everybody and we want everybody." You see, that's the stuff they bring out at first. You have people right down the road in different buildings and calling themselves different branches and stuff like that. Brothers and sisters, They used to have this thing in the cults called the love bomb. Are you familiar with that? Well, they prey on people who are lonely, who are homeless, who need somebody to care for them. They start with those people. They bring them in. They make them part of the family. They love them in ways that nobody has loved them. At least they think that nobody's loved them. Of course, one of the number one people they go after is teenage runaways. Because a lot of these teenage runaways think, and in some cases it is true, that their parents never loved them the right way, that they want to restrict them, that they want to rule over them, and all this other kind of stuff. And so they bring them in, and then they got them. They brainwash them, they take everything they have, and they make them part. See, it starts out with the as the master said, everybody starts with good wine. See, they start out with good taste. They start out with love. They start out with mercy. They start out with goodness. But it is perverted, and instead of being the truth, it all turns out to be a lie, and those people are condemned to an eternity without God if they die in that state. God be praised. A lot of times God reveals the truth to people that are truly, honestly seeking to please God. Well, anyway, that's false religions. And then they have vain philosophies. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, don't be fooled by deceitful philosophies. And there's all kinds out there. There's humanism, there's secularism, there's materialism. There's, we're just worm dirt once we die. And all these kind of things. Brothers and sisters, they're all based on deception. That the human mind can figure out the mysteries of the universe all on its own. Folks, if we could have done that, we'd have already done that. We can't do it. You put two men in a room and both of them have everything they will ever need for all of eternity, and they will still end up fighting and try to have power over one another. God placed man in a perfect environment. Only two of them, Adam and Eve. And what happened? Sin entered the world. Because man chose to obey his own desires and lust instead of obeying the word of God. Now, God had a plan to fix it, and he did, praise the Lord, through Christ Jesus. So we do not need to be captive by secularism or materialism. Folks, materialism is the root of the false gospel of prosperity religion. Folks, you know, one of the funniest things that I've ever seen is a poor village in Africa. Okay, the people are literally subsisting on grass. And Haiti's another example if you want to get closer to home. And on the table are books by many pastors and preachettes that say, oh, you just send us money, or you only have a seed of faith or whatever, and God's going to bless you. And they've been given their whole lives to this, and they're still not saved. God has blessed this country materially with abundance beyond any comprehension. And don't fool yourselves, you know. Well, back in the days of the Roman Empire, the Egyptians, the Greeks, you know, they had tons of gold everywhere. We got it. We just got it in a lot fewer hands. But that's not because of anything other than human sinfulness. Brothers and sisters, all these things doom the believer in those things to eternal damnation. Because instead of trusting Jesus Christ for forgiveness and God for mercy and grace, they trust in themselves to get more. And the old bumper sticker that we've seen ever since the 1970s, at least that's the first time I saw it, he who dies with the most toys wins. Folks, that may be true in a secular mindset. But all you're going to end up is with a fancy tombstone and a hole in the ground, if you're lucky. And those that are famous will end up on the ash heap of history. We had lots of kings that called themselves the King of Kings. Cyrus was one of them. Where's Cyrus at? Well, his bones have been scattered because his tomb got robbed a long time ago. Think about all the Egyptian pharaohs that ruled that huge Egypt. Or good old Nebuchadnezzar. Think of the empire he ruled. Think of the Romans, the Caesars, that controlled all the known Western world. And you're going to go to the Eastern world, to China. They had empires that dwarfed anything the Romans had. And where are they? They're in a hole in the ground. Or scattered along the empire. Why? Because they did not know the one true living God. We know Him through Jesus Christ, God the Son. There's no other way to eternal life, salvation, but Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the good stuff. He's the real stuff. He's not 180 proof moonshine. He's 200 proof, 100% God the Son. And He loves each and every one of us to the point that through eternity past, He knew that He would have to die so that we might be made right with God. The Bible tells us plainly that we know the love of God in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it also tells us that God shows His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But it also says that we were given the righteousness of Christ so that we might become sons of God. John 1. So brothers and sisters, all that being said, I just want to reemphasize all this other stuff that this world tries to give you. Now, they couch it in a lot of things. I mean, they couch it in prosperity. They couch it in health. If the old joke, and I wish it wasn't a joke, but the old joke is that all these faith healers, why aren't they in the hospitals? At least the pediatric hospitals. Because what they're selling is snake oil. What they're selling tastes good because we could say, oh yeah, I'd like to be blessed. I'd like to have all this stuff. But the truth is, we're sinners. The truth is, when we reflect the light of Christ, others will know that they're sinners. Why? Because they need to come to Christ. They need to accept what He has to offer. Folks, if I want to eat, I love to go to a buffet. Now, I usually go to Pan Asia or someplace, I can get what I want or whatever, and it's a wonderful experience. But I'd rather do that than end up eating pizza at Casey's all day. Yeah, to fill me up, yeah, to keep me going, but it's not the same. It ain't bad, but it ain't the same. Why do we want to have what this world has, this pain, this sorrow, this no hope, when we can have everything that God gives us through Jesus Christ? All this other stuff, this world, the devil, or our own flesh, it is like spiritual tap water compared to the wonderful cup of Jesus' blood. And just like the Feastmaster, was that a sword and sorcery movie back in the 80s? No, that's Beastmaster, right? Okay. Feastmaster of ceremonies couldn't understand why the good wine came out when it did. Many people accept all this other garbage, the bad things of life, and never even get around to the good stuff. But when God brings it out, brothers and sisters, don't just sip it. Stick your head in it and drink every ounce that you can, because that's what keeps us going. The blood of Jesus Christ. God has given us the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus. And this is the good truth, the good way, and the only way to have eternal life. How many of y'all remember that movie a few years back, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? All right. Y'all know that was filmed where I'm from. The park and the river, that was a water park only about 12 miles from where I'm from. D'Lo, Mississippi. Now, that being said, one of the songs that were in there was Alison Krauss. I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way. And who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. I love that song. I love that song because it talks about the good way. Folks, if there's a good way, there's a bad way. If there's a narrow path, there's a wide path. And the whole world is running lock, stock, and barrel toward that wide gate on that wide way. And on the other side is the cliff that leads to damnation. And everybody's running because they got all the lights and all the pleasures and all the sinful gratitude that they can have. And people, their sinful nature, they want that. They desire that. They want to live that way because it's a selfish, self-centered life. Folks, that's the beast within us, self. And sometimes, just like when you got to take a strong medicine. You know, this past week, I've taken a lot of different medicines. I've taken, you know, over-the-counter stuff, and I've taken some homeopathic stuff, and it just made me long for my grandma's bottle of wild turkey with the peppermint melted in it. Because I'm going to tell you, a couple of sips of that, you ain't going to cough, and you ain't going to wake up for a couple hours either. But we didn't have any of that. But brothers and sisters, I longed for something that would work. And prayer, rest, and being loved on by my wife. And God bless her, that's why she's sick. Because she made me soups and all kind of stuff good. And it helped me. It gave me strength. And poor little Christine, she was running up and down the stairs bringing me water and ibuprofen and all kind of stuff. And now she's sick. Okay? So y'all remember her in your prayers. But the thing that got me through it was God. And folks, I wasn't dying. I felt like it. Y'all familiar with the term man flu? You know, when we get sick, we get to be babies again. You know, we get to whine and stuff like that. And you know, it's amazing. Denise can tell you, man, I was... My face was all kind of colors and I had one eye drooping. I was not good. And it came on fast. And she was right. She said, go home. I need it. Go home. You know, and I did. And I went straight to bed and I didn't crawl out except for obvious reasons until Saturday morning. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing like feeling bad to get your focus right. And instead of feeling sorry for myself, I decided, Lord, just give me the strength and I'll get done when I need to get done. And He did. And He continues to. But you know, this good stuff that we have, the only way to eternal life, it also shows us in this text that Jesus shared joyous celebrations as well as men's sorrows. And I know that because He answered my prayer to get bail enough so I could get up here and bring His word today, that I'm celebrating that. Now, I'm not going to, you know, shake hands and sneeze on you, so you don't have to worry about that. But all that being said, at least I plan not to. All that being said is I just want to give glory to God because He has shown me through what we studied today, through sitting down yesterday morning, getting my notepad and everything, and reading with these things that Jesus has taught us in this revelation, that He is not only the good stuff, He is the best stuff, and actually He's the only stuff. Listen to the things that Jesus proves. First, it proved His humanity. In this text, with this miracle, He liked to be among the people. Jesus went with His disciples. Now, His mama got Him the invitation because His mama was invited. Okay, but He went too. And apparently, Mary knew something. Because like when the guys came and said, and guess like she was on the women's committee at the wedding, Because as soon as they ran out of wine, they went to her and said, hey, we ain't got no more wine. And so she went to Jesus and said, hey, see what you can do. And he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? An hour is not yet come. All that means, folks, is his start of his public ministry had not began yet. Okay? But still being mama, she was like, do whatever he says. And so they went and got these big water pots. Now, folks, you have all kind of studies that say all this kind of stuff about Jewish purification and how big and the number of firkins or gallons meant. Folks, they were just big clay water pots. Okay? Probably baked in the earth like what we would call terracotta or ceramic or something like that. And they were big. They were about this high and they were about this big around. All right? And so he said, put water in it and then draw it out. So they put water in it and they drew it out. Folks, I'm going to go against a long-term Baptist tradition, but Jesus drank wine. Drinking wine, drinking alcohol, will not send you to perdition. However, the Bible clearly warns, do not drink in excess, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It warns us. And it also tells us in ministry, don't even give a perception of doing something wrong. So I stay away from it. I joke about it all the time. But folks, this is not that time to argue this. And the stuff about, well, actually it was like grape concentrate and not real alcohol, that's false. It was wine. The Greek word oikos means wine. Okay, fermented alcohol wine. But, again, we're talking classy wine, good wine, because God made it. Okay? It wasn't the cheap stuff. He was right. He was right. The master ceremonies. Most folks would send the good stuff out first, and then you would have the bad stuff later after everybody got a little plastered. Okay? Or as my Jewish friends say, verschnickered. You ever heard that term before? You learn something every day. You get verschnickered. Anyway, Jesus partied with them. He celebrated with them. He provided for them. It shows his humanity, but the very miracle shows his divinity. He is God the Son. He is the Creator. If He created the entire universe, which Colossians tells us He did, a few jugs of wine ain't nothing. So His divinity shows that to us. And then it also shows us His selflessness, His willingness to help. Remember the man whose son kept falling at the mouth and falling down into the fire or throwing himself in the water, and they went to his disciples and they could not cast him out. And the man ran to Jesus and he said, Lord, I know you can cast him out. And he said, all things are possible for those who believe. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus was willing. And then the blind man that said, if you're willing, Lord, you can heal me. I'm willing. Jesus was willing. Jesus is willing to help us anytime we come to Him in faith, believing that He can do it. Now, it may not happen on our time scale. We don't get to tell God how soon, how quick, how often. All we do is put in our request and He answers. And folks, unfortunately for us, sometimes He says no. And that's a good thing because Him being God knows us a lot better than we know ourselves. He knows the situation that we can't see things. And sometimes when bad things happen, we trust Him even more. You know, it's for a lot of us here lately, we've had to deal with death and sickness and all kinds of things, and we become tired. And one of the things that I said last week, and I'll say to the day I die, I don't see how folks without the Lord get through it. It's only through the grace of God and the mercy of Jesus Christ that every one of us is sitting here today. Because it not only shows his humanity, his divinity, his selflessness, or his willingness to help, it also shows his providence. He's not only willing to do it, he can do it. And he does do it. He gives us the good stuff when we need it. He gives us the good stuff when we ask it and believe that he will give it. Sometimes he gives it to us without us even asking. Brothers and sisters, why? Because he has compassion. He had compassion on those at the marriage festival. He had compassion on his mom. He had compassion on his disciples. He said, I'm going to give them what they need. He had compassion on us in the garden when he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Why? Without that simple prayer, none of us would have a chance. So this marriage festival miracle showed his humanity, his divinity, his willingness to help, his providence, and his compassion. So brothers and sisters, just as Jesus enjoyed the company of other people, let us enjoy the company of each other. Let us enjoy our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us enjoy the opportunity to come and worship, to participate in the activities of the church, the business of the church, the mission of the church, which is to reflect the light of Christ to all those that he sends in our path. And let us enjoy our salvation. You know, we too are going to go to a marriage feast. Some of y'all knew this was coming if I was preaching on this miracle. You see, there's going to be one day before Revelation 19, before he comes back to the earth on that white horse, where we are going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You see, the church and everybody in it, the body of Christ, we are the bride of Christ. Now, I know some manly men, we kind of get a little nervous when we talk about us being brides, but I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't be anything else. Because that's God we're talking about. We belong to Him. We are the blood-bought children of God. Amen? And in that office, we can celebrate. We can fellowship. We can enjoy our salvation. We don't have to be as some people used to be back in the Middle Ages, and they'd walk around, they'd slap themselves on the back with a whoop, or they'd hit a whip or hit themselves in the head and say some Latin phrase. They'd be constantly doing penance. Now, there are times to be repentant. Don't misunderstand. But being repentant and doing penance is two different things. If we're doing penance, we're saying that God didn't do enough to forgive our sins. But if we're repenting, we're saying, God, we know what we did, we agree with you what was wrong, and we're not going to do it again. And we try our best not to. That's repentance. So you know what? It's not wrong. And I would say it's a wonderful thing. When we come to communion, and we had one not too recently, and we'll have one coming up here on Resurrection Sunday. Now, brothers and sisters, that's going to be April, end of April this year, so it's going to be a late one. Okay, I had to look it up, but that's the way it is. He told the disciples that I will not drink this cup with you again until we drink it new in the kingdom of heaven. When do you drink it new? At the marriage festival. Folks, I've been to some good marriage reception. I ain't been to one where they're all dancing and throwing people around in the air. Ain't been one of those yet. But I've been to good Baptist receptions where there's giant cakes and big buffets and everybody, you know, is doing all kinds of fun things. Put that on heavenly steroids. We are going to celebrate. Why? Because instead of getting up and leaving the room, since we're the bride, we're going to go on a honeymoon with the Lord. And where is that? Right back to earth. Where He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and reign for 1,000 years, and we're going to be reigning with Him. And you see, all that stuff, the indications of His divinity started at a little marriage festival in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus was shown to be the good stuff. Amen. Praise team. Brothers and sisters, we can't enjoy that good stuff unless we take a drink. Now, how do we do that? We do that by jumping into that fountain we often sing about. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And everyone that, I'm paraphrasing, everyone beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. We are in Christ when we believe in Christ with all our hearts. Not maybe, no, it is a fact. We must be willing to give up everything, including our lives. But that doesn't mean martyrdom always. That just means our sinful life that we've been living. We must give that up to be coated by the blood of Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Spirit of God through faith in the Son of God. And when we do that, we will enjoy that good stuff. Brothers and sisters, let's stand.